I am Planta on the line. This is thecommentary.ca. Raindrops on roses and whiskers on kittens were some of Oscar Hammerstein II's favorite things, while some of Neil Pasricha's awesome things include the smell of frying onions and garlic, ordering off the menu at a fast food place, or watching The Price is Right when you're homesick. Those and many other of life's small and simple pleasures are articulated in a new book, The Book of Awesome, Snow Days, Bakery Air, Finding Money in Your Pocket, and Other Simple, Brilliant Things. It's based on the wildly popular blog 1000awesomethings.com, an award-winning blog, written about and featured on various media. By day, Neil Pasricha works in a dimly lit cubicle in the dusty corner of an office building in the suburbs. By night, he writes about the tiny moments that make life sweet. This is a charming book. It's published by Amy Einhorn Books, an imprint of Putnam. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Neil Pasricha in Vancouver today. Good morning, Mr. Pasricha.
Good morning. Just call me Neil. I'm happy to be here.
Thanks for joining us.
No, thanks so much for having me, Jeff.
How was the flight from, I guess you were in Calgary last, were you?
It was great. I was in Calgary last night, and It was great because I got the emergency exit row. And I was thinking to myself this morning that getting the emergency exit row is awesome because, first of all, you get more leg room.
Right.
Second of all, you're the potential future hero of the plane if you have to kick in the door if it were to crash into the mountains or something.
That's right.
And third of all, maybe most importantly, you're out first.
Yes.
I mean, we don't have to stay behind as emergency exit row people and usher everybody out there. Our job is to open that door, and then we're going to jump in the inflatable slide and just slide off to safety.
Now, this is such a happy book, and it's a great book because it's optimistic and it's also nostalgic at the same time. Yet it came from a less than happy place in your life. Is that correct?
Yeah, you got it. I mean, it was 2 years ago in 2008 when all of this started for me. I was personally in a pretty tough place. My wife and I were not doing too well, and our marriage was kind of going in the wrong direction. It culminated one morning when she came to me and said, through tears, she summoned the courage to tell me that she didn't love me anymore. And it was very difficult and obviously very heartbreaking. And at the same time that was happening, my closest friend was battling a severe depression. And a morning after I spoke to him at about 10:30 p.m. on a Sunday night, and the next morning he disappeared. We were very sort of shocked and sad to discover that he had taken his own life, which is just heartbreaking, as you can imagine. And as this was all happening, I just started somehow felt like I needed to focus on the positive. And that's why I started one of those nights, 1000awesomethings.com, as a way to try to remind myself of the positive things in life. And that's what started this whole thing.
One of the things about the blog that I noticed is that you number each post, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So you're actually going for 1,000, right?
Yeah, I started with number 1,000, and I'm counting down every single weekday for 4 years until I hit number one.
Where are we now today?
We're actually just about the halfway point, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So I think today's post is number 485, When Somebody Saves You a Seat. And I talk about how, you know, when you're at the high school auditorium, or you're in the cafeteria, or you're at the movies, and somebody's got that windbreaker laying on the seat beside you, it's an awesome moment.
It is. You mentioned Chris Kim.
Yeah,
your friend that took his own life, and it's such a wonderful piece in the book. And days after reading it, I'm still thinking about it, and I think that's its impact that you think about Chris. And well, what kind of guy was he?
Well, Chris was an amazing guy. So I met him at school, and he was one of those guys that was a don in an undergraduate residence. So he was, you know, holding heads above toilets, chaperoning dances, editing two or three resumes a night on a steady clip. He also was, you know, for a lot of us, he drove us to school every day. It was cold. I went to school in Boston. It was cold in the winters there, and he drove us there. He was a very kind, very gentle, very warm soul, very smart guy, a couple degrees from Harvard, massive future potential, and just you would never meet a sweeter guy. But sadly, he was afflicted with a severe case of major depression, and he battled it for about 15 years. He attempted suicide once before, and then very sadly, eventually took his own life. And so, you know, I mean, we just started talking about it now, but obviously the memories of Chris are all, I tried to put him in a very positive light. And so the piece in the Book of Awesome is called Smiling and Thinking of Good Friends Who Are Gone, because all of us have lost, you know, whether it's a pet or a loved one or a grandparent or something. We've all have suffered loss, and I think it's just about trying to reposition it in a positive way.
Is this something that you would talk to Chris about, these awesome things in life, perhaps?
He was the biggest and first supporter of the blog from the day it started. He used his half-brother Mexican pseudonym, I don't know how he made it up, called San Carlos. So if you actually go to the very first post on the very first day, number 1,000, you will see the second comment down is written by San Carlos. And to this day, his comments, sort of in a ghostly way, pepper the blog up until about the 800s when, very sadly, he left us, and he didn't get to see, you know, he didn't get to see 1,000 awesome things. The blog, I talked to him about the blog every night. He always gave me feedback and thoughts. He's a great writer on top of everything else. And he never got to see us win a Webby Award last year. He didn't get to see me get flown down to New York City to accept the Best Blog in the World Award. He didn't see all the agents approach me, the book deal come. He didn't see us hit the number one on the bestseller list. I'm flying to New York again this weekend for the second year. He didn't get to see that. So all I can do now is try to make sure that his memory is captured. And I've done that in a post about him, as you mentioned. But also, I made sure to put his favorite post from the blog in the book. The publisher and I went back and forth on this one, but I really was passionate about it. So when you flip to an entry in the Book of Awesome called Your Colon, and you wonder why it's in there, it's my sort of secret tribute to Chris, and that was always his favorite post.
What sort of feedback do you get back from your readers in the comments? I understand that they now write you letters and email you, do they?
Yeah, I mean, I put my address in the back of the book and my email address as well. So I get swamped with letters and emails every day, and I make sure I write back to each and every one of them. I get teachers saying that they give awesome homework assignments to their students based around the Book of Awesome. I get preachers saying that they read from it at their sermons on Sunday. I get people from all over the world. Some people have written songs about the blog. People have sent me letters, postcards from around the world. I've had people that have been in very tough places, Joe. You know, they suffered from abuse. They're suffering suicidal thoughts. Or they've experienced hardships that I could kind of only imagine. Not only do they make me feel lucky, but they tell me that 1000awesomethings.com and the Book of Awesome, you know, kind of help remind them that there's simple things in life. And no matter what they're going through, they can take pleasure in knowing that they love, you know, sleeping in new bed sheets, maybe, or when the waitress brings a free refill, or when snow days cancel school. And life's not always perfect, but we all have little awesome moments we can focus on every day.
Was that your intent when you started this? Could you have imagined all this happening because of the blog?
No, I didn't. I mean, people always ask me, you know what, if it was just for you, why'd you put it online? And it was just for me. I say, well, it was just. I said the proof that it's just for me is that first of all, I've got no advertisements on the website. Never made a cent off it. I get asked to put ads on the website literally 3 or 4 times a day. I get emails coming in about that, and I always say, no, I'm not interested. It's about the writing for me. And the reason I put it online and I made it a countdown instead of a count up is because I wanted the artificial sort of public pressure you get, you know, when you make something public. It's like when you have a couple friends that force you to go to the gym. Putting an online blog as a countdown where it automatically updates every night at midnight gave me the sort of push I needed to give myself to write about an awesome thing every day.
How often do you play Monopoly or Scrabble?
I love board games.
Do you? Yeah.
Yeah, are you asking because there's entries about, I mean, I put a couple in the book. When somebody lands in the hotel, you just go to Monopoly.
That's a great moment, isn't it?
Yeah, picking a Q or U at the same time in Scrabble. I'm a terrible player, but you know, and that cue is worth 10 points, so if you don't get rid of it, you're kind of screwed, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not just board games. I mean, it's game shows. I mean, I think that when you solve the puzzle in Wheel of Fortune before the people on the show, you know, that's awesome. Or when you get Final Jeopardy before they do, that's awesome. So there's little things like that everywhere. And you mentioned at the top, you know, watching The Price is Right when you're at home sick, which is a great one.
Yeah. Do you still do that? Do you find you do that even now?
I haven't taken a sick day in a really long time. Thank goodness, but it was more fun when I was, you know, in school and I had to miss a test and I was sort of, my exciting day away from school was sort of turning into a boring afternoon on the couch eating saltines, and at that time, you know, a room full of people would join me, Rod Roddy would scream, come on down, in his blazer, Bob Barker would grab the skinny microphone, and this camera would wildly pan across the audience amongst all these, you know, big ladies in sequins jumping up and down trying to get their attention with homemade t-shirts, and it was a beautiful moment because they felt the exact opposite of how I felt on that couch, and that's why it's an awesome thing in the Book of Awesome.
Now, in the book, you admit that you're cheap.
I am cheap. Yeah, I'm cheap.
We think of the skinflint or the cheapskate as a miser, but when we read the book, it's a very different view that we have of being frugal, And my assumption is that being frugal has made you more aware, say, of the little things in life.
Oh, I don't know. I hadn't thought about it that way. I can't explain it other than, you know, we all have positive and negative characteristics, and maybe being cheap is one of the things I do that I don't know why I do it. I just, you know, I'm always, like, looking for a deal, I guess, and that's what makes some of those things awesome, like finding the last item of your size on sale at a store, you know, or eating the free samples at a grocery store with no intention of buying them.
Yeah. Costco must be awesome, is it?
Costco's awesome. On a Saturday morning, you go there and you basically have lunch.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
I grew up just outside of Toronto, in about an hour east, and, you know, for me, I sort of think that because my parents were immigrants to Canada and they came over in the late 60s, I think that, you know, their sense of wonder with the world around them really affected mine. So, you know, my dad would take me to the grocery store and he would marvel at the fact that you could buy dates for a dollar, and they were brought over on a boat from Morocco, and we'd go home, and he'd be all excited. We'd go home and look up where Morocco was in an atlas. I didn't know and he didn't know either. And we just, you know, sort of take a step back and think, how amazing is it that, you know, all of us have won a lottery where we get to live in a place where we can do things like this? And that sense of wonder, I hope, comes through in the Book of Awesome.
There's a wonderful piece that you talk about in the book that involves your dad. When he first came, I guess he was in Canada for a while, he was invited to a picnic.
Yeah.
And he just marveled at all the food that was there, and he ate everything.
Yeah, it was funny because it was actually right when he landed, and the first thing he did was take him to, like, a welcome immigrants picnic. And he said, at the table, Neil, there was, you know, bread, cold cuts, rolled up salami, rolled up turkey, rolled up chicken, potato salad, macaroni salad, coleslaw, sliced roast beef, you know, tuna casseroles, lasagna, pies, apple pie, blueberry pie, olives, pickles. And he said the only food at the entire table he'd ever seen before was bread. He'd never seen those other things before. He didn't know what animals were from. He was eating olives with pie. You know, he was just trying everything, and he was just flabbergasted at how awesome we all have it here. And you know, what I like to think for myself, you know, I don't have kids, and I hope I do one day, but I hope that I never lose my inner 3-year-old. You know, I hope that we all kind of go through life with a sense of wonder because, you know, you just mentioned I flew here. I flew, you know, in a huge hunk of metal over the mountains in an hour, and I got to watch TV while doing it. I mean, we are surrounded by awesome moments everywhere.
Yeah, and the other thing that I found great comfort in when I read the book was that crying once a month is a good thing.
Yeah, you know, after the weekend where my wife and I realized that we were going to split up, I basically, you know, I'm not ashamed to say that I cried all weekend. I mean, it was the toughest day of my life, and I completely broke down. It was very, very difficult. And, you know, Sunday night came, and as you know, I update the blog, 1000awesomethings.com, every weekday, so I had to think of something to write about for the next morning or stop my blog. And so I wrote about crying, about how why crying is awesome. I went on Wikipedia, I did some research, and it turns out it is awesome. It helps sort of chemically center your body. It shows people that you need help, so it gives you a reason to embrace others, which gives you comfort. And there's all these other great things about it. And on average, guys cry once a month, and girls cry 5 times or more. And so the point of that piece was just saying, let it out. You know, you don't have to bottle it up. There's nothing to be ashamed of, and maybe crying is a good thing. Maybe it's an awesome thing. That's where that's when that one came from. Some of them, you can have sort of a bit of a personal backstory, but others, you know, like wearing warm underwear out of the dryer or the smell of gasoline are just sort of simple things.
The one piece that I've been talking to friends about over the last couple of days is this ordering off the menu at a fast food restaurant. I've never done that, and it's fascinating to, and you have examples of you go to Starbucks, you go to Subway, you go to McDonald's, of stuff that you can get.
Yeah, it all started with my friend Chad. He used to work at McDonald's, and I'm sure like a lot of sort of bored teenagers at the back, they just sort of create these concoctions. And so I would be with Chad going through the drive-thru McDonald's years later, and he'd say, oh, I'll have a Neapolitan shake. And he would get a milkshake that was a third chocolate, a third vanilla, and a third strawberry. And because the milkshake was so thick, the flavors wouldn't mix together, and he would have 3 milkshakes in one. And I said, where'd you get that idea? And he said, we used to make them, Neapolitan shake. Try ordering a Neapolitan shake.
Order one of those, yeah.
Yeah, and then so that just spun out, and I started asking people, and I come up with this article called Ordering Off the Menu, where people would talk about getting the Barnyard at Wendy's, where they get, like, every meat in the back put together on a sandwich. And it was a great one to write about on the blog and to talk about today, because hundreds and hundreds of people commented and said, you know, I work at, you know, a Taco Bell in Louisiana, and what we'd always do late at night, and they'd share their own thing, which is also, which is so great, and so salivating, too.
Yeah. I know that you have a cubicle job. I mentioned that off the top. That's on the in your bio. Is the goal to parlay all this into a career writing comedy?
No, for me, I love work, and so it would take a lot for me to quit my day job. I think that, you know, if you have a job you like, then you get a lot from it. You get a social aspect to it. You get some structure in your day. If I'm not working, believe me, I devolve very quickly. I wear track pants, don't shower, and eat McDonald's all day. And so it gives me structure, and it gives you satisfaction. So I think there's a lot of good things to be said about work. And writing's always been a fun hobby for me. I like to do it in the evenings and weekends. As soon as it becomes a day job, it turns into all the, you know, it becomes too deadline-based, and I end up sitting at home kind of bored and lonely looking at a laptop all day, and I certainly don't want to do that. So
you carry a notebook around, do you? And did you scribble in it?
Yeah, I'm scribbling awesome things everywhere. I mean, you know, the one I just told you about, the emergency exit, well, we were talking about that this morning, so I made a note to myself, and I've got stacks of bus transfers and receipts beside my computer with these little awesome things jotted down. And it's crazy because, you know, it's now what's happening is the Book of Awesome is getting translated into German, French, Dutch, Korean. It's getting turned into a page-a-day calendar. A big TV studio has asked me to write a treatment for them as a possible TV show. And I'm just sort of enjoying the ride. And I think that, you know, maybe the Book of Awesome is number one on the best art list because it's not just me that sort of wanted to smile, you know. I think that the news has just been so heavy with oil spills and 10% unemployment and how many of us have lost our jobs or our houses or our careers or our savings or someone close to us. So it's nice to sort of take a reminder that life's actually pretty good. We just have to focus on, you know, the smell of rain on a hot sidewalk and peeling an orange in one shot to remember it.
Now, people have said to you that maybe you should be writing about more serious things, right? They say you should be blogging about Darfur, perhaps, or something, right? What do you say to them?
I always say, you know what, the internet's a big place, bookstores are big places, and no matter what you want, it's out there. So if you want to blog about oil spills, you know, go to thehuffingtonpost.com. It's a great website, and they're covering it pretty well. If you want to blog about 1,000 awesome things, I've got it for you. You know, that's the beauty of the internet, anything you want's out there.
And do you have the number one awesome thing already or not?
I have a few written down and saved for the top of the list, yeah, but I haven't revealed them to anybody yet, so you're going to have to wait a couple of years, unfortunately.
We will, yeah. Now, people can still email you their own ideas, right?
Oh, yeah, 1000awesomethings at gmail.com. I get so many emails every day. I respond to them all, and the ideas can come from all over. You know, friends of mine could text me at 3 in the morning saying getting the last cab from the bars is awesome, and who knows, then I might expand that into an essay, which could go in onto the website.
Is the book at Walmart?
Yes, it is. It's at Walmart, Chapters, Indigo, Kohl's, Amazon.ca, every independent bookstore, and kind of the airports, wherever you can find a book, it should be there.
That must be fun, walking through an airport and seeing your book.
You know what's so funny is that yesterday I was walking through the Calgary airport, and I popped in, and I said, hey, listen, you know, this is so weird to say, but, this book right here, I wrote it, and I was wondering if you want me to sign them for you. She's like, sure, sure, go ahead. So I signed these books just before catching my flight. And a woman comes up to me, she's like, oh, my God, are you the author? I said, well, yeah. And she's like, I just heard you on the news, and, like, I was wondering if you can sign one to my friend. And so I ended up having a cool conversation with a cute girl, and it was all because of the book. So it's been a really kind of a fluky, fun thing.
And I'm really envious of you because I saw a clip of you on The Early Show.
Yep.
You got to snuggle with Julie Chen.
Yeah, I did. That wasn't scripted either. She sort of curled up into me, and as you saw, started sucking her thumb because it was an awesome moment to snuggle with her blanket, she said. And, yeah, that was so fun going down there. It was so bizarre because they sent a really fancy car to pick me up.
Yeah.
A black car with a dude in a suit and a hat, and he was holding a sign that said Neil on it, you know, and I was like, wow, this is pretty. I didn't know that was happening, so this is pretty fancy. So I go into this car, and he literally drives me one block to the studio, like one block, like 100 feet. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I could have easily walked, but I guess they picked up Ashton Kutcher before me and the cast of Lost after me, so they decided to do the same for the guy who nobody knows and lives and staying with a buddy a block away.
Yeah. Neil, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. I just love this book. Congratulations on it. I'd say good luck, but it's already number one, so but continued good luck anyway.
No, I really appreciate the opportunity to chat, and thank you so much, and I hope you and your listeners all have a great day.
The same. The email address, if you want to email Neil with your awesome things, is 1000awesomethings@gmail.com. The website is 1000awesomethings.com. The book is called The Book of Awesome, Snow Days, Bakery Air, Finding Money in Your Pocket, and Other Simple, Brilliant Things. Amy Einhorn Books is its publisher. That's an imprint of Putnam in Vancouver. Neil Pasricha on the line. I'm Joseph Planta.